Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
It seems like forever since we've had some good news to talk about, but the good news today is that we do have good news to talk about. Georgia gets a commitment from three-star defensive back Chris Smith, and as a way of kind of setting up the discussion, I want to go back in time a little bit, and I want to go back to the end of spring practice, near the end of spring practice. It was the final practice on that Thursday night before the G-Day game on Saturday, and Georgia coach Kirby Smart was asked about, okay, you've been through a busy period. You know, you had the winter period where it was all about strength and conditioning and getting stronger and developing in that regard. And then it's about the spring practice time of being out there on the field and getting ready for G-Day and kind of figuring out what these early enrollees brought to the table, figuring out where things stood between the quarterbacks, Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm. And G-Day was about to be over, and that was going to be behind you. What's next for Georgia football? Well, it's the part of the year that Kirby Smart calls Phase 3, and here's how Kirby Smart described then about how Phase 3 would unfold over the course of the next few weeks, leading us through the spring, leading us through the summer. Here's Kirby Smart then.
It's Phase 3. I mean, it's Phase 1 is get back from the bowl game, work out hard, build muscle, you know, get strength, stamina. Phase 2, spring practice. Phase 3 is Maymester for some, chance to go home. For others, it's a chance to stay here, work out, rehab, get stronger, mentally prepared. Obviously, part of Phase 3 is bringing in the new signees who will be here soon. But for me or our staff, it's a lot more about recruiting because we go full force recruiting as soon as next week sometime. I think midweek we're going to go out recruiting, and I'm not allowed to do that, so I'll be doing in-house stuff, speaking engagements, all the stuff you guys love to come to.
So listen, I mean, he takes a jab at the media there at the end about liking the media, enjoying coming to those spring speaking tour events. You know, reporters will kind of sneak in there and get a few quotes, and it's always kind of interesting to read. But if you're the average fan, you don't care much about these, you know, high donor, big money speaking events because you're probably not invited to them anyway. I'm certainly not invited to them. And, you know, you hope that the players who are going through Maymaster and have some classes coming up, you hope they do well in those classes. But for the most part, that's kind of their business too. You don't care much about that. But it's the phrase that Kirby Smart uses that you care the most about is the notion of full force recruiting. That's going to, you know, sort of kick into high gear now that spring practice is over. And even if Kirby Smart is restricted from being a part of it, the program entering full force recruiting is the kind of thing that fans are going to pay attention to, because I think a lot of fans are going to say it's about time this program got back to full force recruiting after a few losses on the recruiting trail here over the last couple of months. Well, apparently that has gotten started as Georgia gets the commitment from the three-star defensive back from Hapeville Charter, Chris Smith. And, you know, there are a few thoughts I want to get into of my own about Chris Smith, and then we'll bring on Jeff Sintel. When we bring on Jeff, by the way, you know, Jeff is a guy that has seen Smith a lot, and that gives him a lot of insight into this discussion. And I haven't talked to Jeff about this yet, but based on what Jeff's been writing and the things that Jeff has said in the past, I think that what Jeff is going to say when he joins us in a few minutes is this is a guy you have to see in person to fully understand what he brings to the table. That seeing is believing when it comes to a Chris Smith. He's a guy that's kind of come out of nowhere in terms of you know, being a prospect getting a lot of attention. And one of the reasons why that has happened for Smith, at least according to what I believe Jeff's going to say in a moment, is that when he gets in these camps, like the Nike opening qualifier that took place in Buford a month or so ago, when he gets there side by side against other elite prospects, he just performs pretty well, maybe even better than you would anticipate him performing. He seems to always be pleasantly surprising, and that's one of the reasons a school like Georgia was able to give its attention to Chris Smith, and ultimately that's one of the reasons why Chris Smith ultimately, I believe, committed to UGA. Now, some pushback from some fans is going to be the fact that the size necessarily not as big as you'd like from a sort of a new breed Kirby Smart defensive back, only about 5'10", only about 170 pounds. But I'll remind you here for a moment. You know, last year, Georgia chased down Jamias Williams all throughout the recruiting process. Williams ultimately chose South Carolina. But back then, Georgia fans didn't have much of a problem with Georgia going after a smaller defensive back there. Now, I'm not telling you that Chris Smith is ever going to be as good as Jamias Williams or that he is as good as Jamias Williams now. But there is an element where some players just play better than their body, and it could be a case for Chris Smith's competitive fire, a guy who kind of came out of nowhere to become a college prospect, a big-time college prospect. Maybe he has some of that same kind of fire burning in him that we saw from Jamias Williams a year ago. Also, you have to notice here that being from Hapeville Charter, that's obviously the same high school that Georgia commit William Poole came from. And, you know, I've had a chance to talk to William Poole before. He was a guest of ours in a video show that we did back in the winter. And all I can say about that is if Chris Smith ends up being the same kind of guy that William Poole is, coming from the same high school, being friends with each other, and that's obviously a nice get for Georgia, because Poole is not only a great, you know, representative himself for UGA, but he's also a big fan of UGA. When we talked to Poole in the past, I was always amazed at just how many other good defensive backs he wanted to see join him with the Georgia program. No doubt he's very happy about Smith being a part of the fold here for the class of 2018. And Georgia fans, I think, should hope that Chris Smith as a person turns out to be a lot like what William Poole is as well. But maybe the bigger point here is that for a Georgia program that just sort of had seemed to have lost its mojo there a little bit, maybe this is an example of Georgia kind of getting that back here. Because, you know, you can't help but notice, you know, I mentioned William Poole, the similarities there. There's also some similarities between Chris Smith and another UGA commit from last season, Trey Blunt, because they both committed on the same day, on May the 1st of last year. But the comparison between Blunt, the wide receiver from Pace Academy, and Smith, the defensive back from Hapeville Charter, go beyond just the day they committed. Remember what made Trey Blunt's announcement significant, his commitment to UGA? It came on the heels of some bad news, on the heels of Demetrius Robertson, the five-star wide receiver, choosing Cal over Georgia. Remember how we chased that story down all throughout the spring after National Signing Day? And the moment that Robertson chose Cal, Georgia's making some good news of its own, announcing the fact that Trey Blunt, another four-star wide receiver, was committing to UGA. Well, once again here, the Chris Smith announcement also comes on the heels of some bad news. The arrest of Elijah Holyfield, and while Holyfield will probably work through that and be fine, it's the kind of thing that kind of hangs around online for a while, unless you can get a recruiting story to kind of push that headline down the page a little bit. And that's what the Chris Smith commitment probably does. And yeah, I realize that he's only a three-star prospect. Georgia fans get excited about four- and five-star guys. But the truth is that in a given year, Georgia's going to sign at least 10 three-star guys in most of these classes anyway, certainly 7, 8, or 9 of those guys. And so for Chris Smith right now, a three-star prospect whose rating may even grow higher over the course of the next few weeks, next few months, because for a Georgia program that needed some good news, it got some good news with Chris Smith. This is a guy that people who have seen him play say he really can play, and I think Georgia fans are looking forward to seeing him do that in Athens for many years to come. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Great to have you with us on iTunes or at dognation.com if you listen to us in podcast form. On the radio every day at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. You can watch us live 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page there on Facebook Live. However you get to us, we appreciate you being here with us. Also want to update you on our big announcement from yesterday that Kroger is teaming up with dognation.com to present our Dog Nation Invasion, our big giveaway. You can register for a chance to win a trip for two, including airfare, tickets, hotel, the whole, you know, nine yards, at dognation.com for the big game in South Bend later on this fall. Now, I have heard from some of you. I know there was a little bit of an issue with the mobile version of the online sign up yesterday. We are working to get that fixed. We'll have some more details for that on you tomorrow. For now, though, if you can get to a desktop computer, shouldn't be an issue there, and hopefully we'll have those mobile issues resolved very quickly. Obviously, you want to register for this. It's open through midnight May 19th. One register per Dog Nation reader and Dog Nation daily listener, of course. You can get in there, but you will have the option to share this entry with somebody else, and if you share it with somebody else using your social media, you will also apparently get another entry into the contest, so that's double your chance of winning right there. So please make sure you check that out. Of course, the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend is brought to you by Kroger. And don't forget, you know, we're coming up on that time of year when there's a lot of graduation parties taking place, not just high school and college. I mentioned yesterday my son's getting ready to graduate from preschool. whatever graduation party you have going on or whatever big spring event you have, Mother's Day coming up after all, I want you to think about Kroger because they got the party platters and the custom decorated cakes and all the things that really make those graduation parties or spring events very special, including ordering some flowers, anything like that. You can get all of that at Kroger, and your big event this spring is going to be even better because of your connection for Kroger. So to check out what Kroger can do for you, check them out online at Kroger.com. And, of course, appreciate Kroger bringing the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend to us as well. Make sure you sign up for that there at DogNation.com. I'll also remind you that the Dog Nation Invasion also brought to you by Larceny Bourbon, a 92-proof weeded small-batch bourbon made from 200 barrels or less that are hand-selected by their master distillers from the finest brands in the rickhouse. Unlock the smoothness today at LarcenyBourbon.com. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And we'll welcome in Jeff Sintel here to DogNation.com and Dog Nation Daily. And, Jeff, a lot we want to get into with you. We'll talk about the Chris Smith commitment. Georgia finally adds a member to this 2018 class. Before we get to any of that, though, you know, I know you're just as excited as I am for the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway brought to you by the giveaway being sponsored by Kroger. We've got the signups going on. I know people are already signing up for that. We kind of talked a moment ago about, you know, listen, we're getting the mobile situation taken care of. We'll have that fixed. But your chance to sign up for this before May 19th, this is going to be a really fun trip, and we're glad to give one of these trips away courtesy of Kroger.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, good morning, sir. Yeah, courtesy of Kroger. Continues to be really great partners for us at Dog Nation, and I think I see two things to talk about there. Number one, did we like tilt our interface last night like one of those old school pinball machines that was like smoking? I think we got so many signups on that promotion really fast yesterday afternoon that other people were saying they couldn't get in or whatever. But man, I can see why, man. It's like airfare. It's got, I mean, let's just start with the biggest thing. You get to hang out with Brandon Adams first.
No doubt.
And then you've got airfare, game tickets, transfer, hotel accommodations on the Magnificent Mile, Georgia versus Notre Dame tickets, some Dog Nation gear, and probably a great, great weekend in September, no doubt about that.
Yeah, no question whatsoever. And, Jeff, speaking of great, it was great news for Georgia fans who were kind of looking for that commitment for the class of 2018. Seems like we haven't had a lot of good news to report here as of late, but Georgia does get some as Chris Smith announces his commitment to UGA. You know, if you don't mind, I want to leave it kind of an open-ended question here. What are your thoughts on Smith kind of coming into the fold here for the Dogs?
Well, I think Chris is kind of he's a very smart, very astute kid. Every time I speak to Chris, I kind of walk away thinking, is that guy really just 16 years old? Well, he just turned 17 yesterday and gave his commitment to Georgia on May 1st, his birthday. Now, the commitment actually happened last week. I waited a while. But, you know, with Christopher, he's a guy that, you know, maybe even as recently as maybe a couple weeks ago was, you know, the thought might have been Ohio State, might have been Michigan, might have been South Carolina, but he had a great visit to Georgia. I think it was on Junior Day, and then he doubled down with another great visit at G-Day, and all of a sudden it looks like that William Poole III's running mate in the Hayteville Charter Secondary is now going to Georgia. You know, Poole could be a flex DB, a nickel slot guy, a nickel corner, a slot corner, an edge corner, a safety perhaps. I think Christopher Smith is more of that nickel corner, just straight pure cornerback type guy. And to me, it sure looks like Georgia has a hierarchy with cornerbacks this year in this cycle. And I think Smith was at the very top, maybe at the expense of another prospect, like maybe a Christian Tut perhaps. But I'll tell you what, you know, there's always debate about, is a three-star prospect a really good player? Look how many three-star prospects make the league and get drafted. And then you also hear services that tout about how, you know, all these five-stars and four-stars make the NFL draft and how great they are at evaluating talent. I can accept the standard that a three-star player is a likely multiple-year starter in the SEC. But the part I can't accept when we start rating these players is any method, any ranking, any mechanism that has Christopher Smith as the 41st defensive cornerback prospect in the country It's a little head-scratching to me because every camp I go to, every 7-on-7 event I see, Christopher Smith looks like one of the top five, top elite defensive backs there. So having him rated that lowly as a three-star and the nation's number 41 corner, I always find a little bit puzzling considering that Christopher Smith is one of the very best in the Southeast at what he does at the very least.
Yeah, no, I actually previewed your appearance earlier, and I predicted that you would say that because I know you've been writing that kind of stuff a lot, that he's one of those guys that you do just kind of have to see to understand what he brings to the table, because obviously Georgia fans pay attention to the size, not incredibly big. They pay attention to the star rating. Georgia fans are attracted to the 4- and 5-star guys, but for someone like you who's seen Smith with his own, with your own eyes, you're going to say that, you know, whether it be the Nike Regional opening qualifier or other moments when you've seen him in person, he plays better than some of those specs would suggest, and it's one of the reasons why he's been such a fast riser.
You know, Chris Smith played opposite of Poole for 2 years, and when Poole's on one side, that means you're the guy that's getting picked on. And like last year, Chris Smith played a lot of corner, and he was so good at corner that what Hayfield Charter did is they let William Poole play some safety to kind of be that eraser or kind of be that in-the-box guy that they couldn't be thrown away from. And that's because Chris Smith's very good at what he does. I mean, he was clearly – I mean, if the only knock on him is going to be his size. I mean, there's a lot of people making a lot of million, gajillion dollars in the NFL that are only 5'11" at the cornerback spot or 6 feet at the cornerback spot. You know, the thing with Christopher Smith is he's just a really smart player, very instinctual player, and he's tenacious and aggressive, and those are things that naturally come to him. He works very hard at his craft. He's one of those I dare you kids, and to me, those are the intangibles about Christopher Smith that really push him over the top, and he's one of those guys that Georgia can build a class around because he's going to be a great communicator, and he's going to be very outgoing. And, you know, Christopher Smith, everybody sits there and they're going to lament, oh, here's a three-star prospect. Georgia's going gaga over a three-star prospect. Maybe because the recruiting for the 2018 class has been down for so long. I think Georgia now has a solid hold on above Missouri and Ole Miss in the SEC and the current recruiting rankings for the teams in the 2018. But, Brandon, they also zoom all the way up to 61st overall.
There you go.
In the national rankings, it's a lot better than Northern Illinois territory, I might imagine, for a lot of the fans out there.
Yeah, I'll admit, Jeff, I did not like seeing on the composite team ranking Georgia ranked behind the likes of Iowa State and Louisiana Lafayette and Central Michigan, all true stories, by the way. So that's the kind of corner Georgia put itself in, and now it's going to have to fight its way out of that, and Chris Smith's probably a pretty good way to do that. And I couldn't help but notice last night on the forum at forum.dognation.com, how many people are kind of chiming in on the same message, which is, hey, maybe now that Smith is committed, it's kind of the start of, you know, something bigger building here. There's going to be some momentum building now. Do you see that? Do you see Smith kind of leading the way for a few more commitments here over the next couple of weeks? After all, Kirby Smart talked about full force recruiting starting after spring was over. Well, spring is over now, and it would seem that it's time for full force recruiting to begin.
Seems like May. It sounds like May. It's going to be a lot better for Georgia than at least March and April, where you can at least say that. And I know that's really setting the bar really low, considering how poorly things turned out for Georgia in April. But, you know, you got to remember, Kirby has gotten a commitment on every May 1st that he's been the head coach at Georgia. Last year,
yeah,
he got Trey Blunt, 4-star wide receiver, and this year he gets Christopher Smith, who I think when everything is said and done and he gets his invitation to a lot of those elite camps, I think Christopher Smith will wind up being a 4-star defensive back as well. And right now he's committed to the University of Georgia.
All right, I will admit something, Jeff. It's kind of hard to get me excited about kickers. That's just not something I don't spend a lot of time here on Dog Nation Daily. Talking about kickers is not an interesting subject to me normally. But I have to admit, what you wrote about Jake Camarda, another one of the UGA 2018 commits, a kicker/punter, what you wrote about him and some of the quotes that you got from, I guess these sort of elite kicker analysts, people who focus in on nothing but specialists for their recruiting work. I have to admit, some of those quotes have got me really excited about Kamara, who may be about the very best in the country when it comes to a kicker/punter coming out of high school. For the fans who have not read this piece at Dog Nation, I'd invite them to check it out, because it sounds like Kamara is like one of those once-in-a-generation type kicker prospects. Is that saying too much?
But I don't think it's saying too much, because I think what it is he is a Swiss Army knife kicker, if you want to say that, or a go-go gadget, Inspector Gadget kicker. Because what he can do, you remember, everybody harkens back to a few things. They're going to think about, oh, what does the Kamara offered mean for Marshall Long? What does it mean for Rodrigo Blankenship? They also remember Kirby making the statement very clearly that he thought the kicking scholarship should be awarded on the field and in practice when you earn the job and you perform in SEC ball games. Then that's how the kickers could most often come to the University of Georgia. But he did also mention that he wants an elite kicker, a guy with elite impact ability. And then if Georgia found one of those guys, then they would extend a scholarship offer to that. And I think this is another efficiency play right here for Coach Smart and the staff. When they offered Kamara, they basically see him at least a three-tool leg. And what I mean by that is a kickoff specialist, a punter, and also a field goal placement guy. It's funny how the ratings, and on this one, you know, there's not, Brandon, when we go to these opening camps, these prospect camps, there's really nothing for the kickers. Part of that's logistics, because you need a separate field for the kickers, and part of that's just football. Any football practice in the world, the kickers kind of go off to their own field while the offense and defense kind of work on the main fields when everybody practices. So kickers are very hard to be evaluated. That's why there's entities like Coles Kicking, Chris Saylor Kicking, that all they do is punters, kickers, and long snappers, and it is a dedicated science, or at least a craft, for all these high school players. And it's funny that the recruiting rankings industry have Kamara as the nation's number one or number two kicker. That's because they don't rate a lot of punters or kickers. I think that it's going to be very hard for any kicker to be rated with four stars, much less five stars. That's why Kamara is a two-star prospect. But you go to these kicking gurus, they look at Kamara differently. They look at him as the nation's number one punter, without a doubt. That seems like to be a universal across all those formats. And they also look at him as maybe the nation's number three or four kicker. So that in one way is, you know, everybody thinks about scholarships and efficiency, but I think maybe Smart's greatest hope for Kamara's career at Georgia is that maybe he can become the punter and the kicker eventually, and even the kickoff guy.
Yeah.
And then and in one fell swoop with one offer, Georgia could tick off three really important parts of its special teams game with what they bring for Kamara. And Kamara is about 6'2", 180, two-sport athlete, plays baseball. He's a center fielder. He's a relief pitcher. He kind of shies away from interviews. Like when he first got the offer, he was very respectful, very poised and polite. He just preferred to lay low. And then after he's made the decision to commit to Georgia, he'd still rather lay low. So, you know, it's going to be very hard for there to be a lot of, you know, really – you know, deep dive, very big profile stories on him. He's still going to communicate with a lot of the reporters out there that follow Georgia, but he's just going to do this in his own unique way. And I wouldn't, anybody out there that, you know, kind of wonders or scratches their head about that one, you also should just kind of remember that kickers are people too. Reference Rodrigo Blankenship in the helmet, reference lots of other kickers and punters down the line. And some uniqueness, and it's okay for those guys to show a little bit of flair and be a little bit off the different path than maybe most of the football players we're used to talking to.
You had some interesting quotes from Trey Dean, the safety from Dutchtown, the other day at DogNation.com, and Trey also gave some pretty interesting quotes to Phil Kornblut, who covers South Carolina recruiting up there in Columbia. You know, it sounds like Dean truly is torn right now. I guess he took a visit to Columbia to see the Gamecocks this past weekend. Seems like that went really well. These visits always go well. Where do you think things stand with Dean at the moment?
Well, I spent some time with him last week in Dutchtown. He's actually the first SEC prospect that the school's ever produced. Now, Brendan, you're going to like this. He likes the way he looks in red and black. They play for the he plays for the Dutchtown Bulldogs, and he's probably going to make his decision sometime toward the end of the month. And that means he still needs to get out and see a couple more schools, like a school like Texas intrigues him, a school like Oregon intrigues him as well as UCLA. And I think the other two dogs in the hunt, so to speak, would be South Carolina and Georgia. He really likes Georgia. He's kind of always liked Georgia. But he kind of says he's pretty open to a lot of schools right now. South Carolina got another visit from him. And, you know, Dean's very interesting because he really liked Florida. Florida was his initial offer. And as you bite your teeth as I go through summation, Brandon, Florida probably would have him if they wouldn't have had a coaching change with Torian Gray, who he went up and he elevated his profession and got a job with the Washington Redskins in the NFL. But that opens the door for a school like Georgia and a school like South Carolina and others to kind of latch on to Trey Dean. And Dean's a guy that, Brandon, if you're looking for your likely I'm not going to say he's going to be another Richard LeCount or a guy like that or even a Nolan Smith yet, but I'm going to say he's going to be a guy that will have to do Richard LeCount-like things for the class of 2018 at Georgia, then I think that might be your man, that type of guy that's going to be a communicator, that's going to be a guy that really speaks highly of wherever he could go if he did choose, or they should go if he does choose Georgia. So I think Dean's a guy that's really connected. He knows Chris Smith really well. He knows Quay Walker very well. He knows Kyler McMichael pretty well. Trey Dean is a guy, if Georgia wants to continue, if Georgia wants to have a great May on their recruiting trail, then Trey Dean would be a guy that they would definitely like to land for the class this month.
Can I ask you a final question kind of off the subject of recruiting here for a moment?
Sure. Go ahead, man.
So we've gotten new details about this Elijah Holyfield arrest. You know, once again, you have a player kind of in his dorm, seemingly minding his own business, albeit, I guess, breaking the law when it comes to marijuana. And, you know, someone basically rats him out in the from his hallway there, and police come knocking on his door and kind of go through this search and kind of, you know, get everything done here. Doesn't that seem a little weird that you know, we're invading the dorm space here to make this arrest for Holyfield? I know for a non-Georgia fan who's listening, this may seem like, you know, ulterior motive or sort of biased reasoning here, but this is a strange situation that, Jeff, almost seems like it happens at Georgia far more than it happens anywhere else. I mean, what do you make of these new details of the Holyfield arrest that are coming out?
Well, again, it's not a very good look for Holyfield, first and foremost, because it is a law, and he is on campus, and he is a scholarship athlete at the University of Georgia, and, you know, lots of things are happening in the work here, but, like, you really have the opportunity to sit here and say the following statements. It is a privilege to play football and have this scholarship at the University of Georgia. It is not a reward because you're so vastly athletically talented. I mean, that's the corporate speak, and that's the company speak like that. But I do find it curious when I hear from fans, Brandon, and they ask me, okay, how do all these players at other SEC schools, and namely the ones that are winning a lot of hardware, go their entire careers at a school without any sort of implications of drugs or, you know, not in being compliant with the SEC's abuse, the SEC's policies on these activities? And yet when they go probably the most important job interview of their life, and when they go to the combines and they are giving urine samples for kind of the exact same things, and they immediately get flagged for diluted samples or positive tests or everything else like that, that's just kind of, you know, the narrative hasn't changed, Brandon. I don't think that's one thing that Kirby Smart, you know, really has any sort of control over, like, you know, the minimum standard about for what Holyfield will miss. I just think that's Georgia. Georgia, you know, going back to the old days and the old administration, they're going to do things a lot differently. And the one thing the fan base always has ammunition for every offseason is, why do things happen here at Georgia more than any other school? And quite frankly, I just think the only obvious conclusion somebody can draw is that Georgia enforces and polices those matters a lot differently than other SEC schools.
Yeah, Jeff, that certainly seems to be the case, and I think that's well stated. We appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily. We love the recruiting work that you're doing. And, boy, Jeff, you know, reading the Sintel Intel is a nice thing to do every day, but it's nice to read from you when there's actually a commitment to talk about as opposed to why a player chose Ohio State or some other random school. It was much more fun to read that from you last night than the news the last couple of weeks. So let's see if we can keep this momentum going here for a while.
That might be happening in May, sir. And one thing I would like to add is I would like to say a big thank you to everyone at Kroger, and especially the Georgia ALS chapter, the ALS Association, the Georgia chapter. Of course, that's the disease, which everyone knows, that struck down Lou Gehrig. There are real stories and real lives that continue to be affected by that disease daily. And Kroger does a tremendous job every year supporting that charity, especially Kroger Georgia, Georgia's Kroger Southeast stores. I was very lucky to be a part of their fundraising event, their charity golf tournament yesterday at Eagles Landing Country Club in Stockbridge. Beautiful course, first-class event, wonderful event. And, you know, everybody wants to hear about these great trips that are being sponsored by Kroger, and everybody thinks that's great. Cha-ching, and that's a wonderful thing we can do for our readers. But I also wanted them to know about what Kroger does for the community, especially the great work they do for ALS in the state of Georgia, raising awareness and trying to help those that are whose families and their lives have been touched by this difficult disease, man.
Yeah, Jeff, couldn't help but notice and that, you know, the rest of us are kind of locked in the studio working hard yesterday, and you and our sales guy, BJ, out there enjoying the golf course on a beautiful day in the state of Georgia. Must be nice to live the life of Riley like Jeff Sintel does, out there playing golf on a Monday, working on that tan, you know, living the celebrity life, people coming up and patting you on the back the whole time. I have to admit, the social media photos, did them make their way into my timeline, did happen to know that you were having a pretty good day yesterday.
Now, Brandon, you know that there are plenty of prospects or prospects around Stockbridge High School. There's a way to work harder, and there's a way to work smarter, sir. And that's the way you can kill two birds with one stone, or maybe collect a couple of birdies on the back nine when you're having a good time and supporting a worthy cause.
Hey, Jeff, that's so well said. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again later on the week, all right?
Thanks, sir. Have a great one.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff there from Jeff Sintel, and he's right. You know, Kroger teaming up to help a great cause there when it comes to ALS. I'll invite you to check out Jeff's timeline on Twitter, at Jeff Sintel on Twitter. He talks more about that. We just appreciate everything Kroger's doing in the community. They are a great friend, great partner to DogNation.com. We're excited about the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway, of course, and I know Jeff had a great time with them yesterday supporting ALS as well. So good stuff there from Kroger. Want to shift gears here, talk about our SEC Through. Of course, make sure you check out SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern Time today on the SEC Country Facebook page with myself, the former Alabama All-American Mike Johnson, on the show. And one of the stories we talked about yesterday a little bit, and I guess there's some new details kind of coming out about this. Caleb Brantley was the Florida defensive star, gets into the incident in the Gainesville bar with a woman where, you know, at first the police report that she was the instigator and he was the victim. Now new details in that story may paint a different picture, maybe even the complete opposite picture on that. But that was hanging over Brantley's head going into the draft. Well, Brantley, who was a really, you know, top-flight prospect, ended up being drafted in the sixth round by the Cleveland Browns. And Mary Kay Cabot, a reporter who covers the Browns and covers the NFL, had an interesting tweet where she let it be known. And if you're watching this on video, you can actually see the tweet from Mary Kay Cabot. But basically, she was, or that NFL sources were told that a coach at the school at Florida told every team to walk away from Brantley. Don't draft him. Don't even pick him up if he was an undrafted free agent. Now, the question I asked on SEC Country Live yesterday was, even if Brantley's a bad guy, is this a good thing for Florida to be doing? Publicly shaming their player, publicly trashing their player to NFL draft scouts. And if other SEC teams found out that Florida really was doing this, isn't this the kind of thing that Florida could be negative recruited against? Because, listen, I don't know, you know, the stories of what Brantley's done. I don't know how true it all is. I don't know if he is a bad guy. But you got to be really careful, I think, if you're an SEC team, basically trying to injure the NFL career of one of your former players. However, there's some new details that kind of come out on this, and some of this comes from SECCountry.com, really interesting stuff on the Florida page at SEC Country. but the fact that maybe this whole thing didn't actually come from a Florida coach, may have come from Brantley's agent, because the way NFL contracts work, that it's actually better in some respects to be an undrafted free agent than it is to be a drafted player, because undrafted free agents have shorter rookie contracts than the drafted guys do. So maybe this was Brantley's agent trying to get him to be such a tarnished prospect that he didn't get drafted at all, therefore picked up as an undrafted free agent, have a chance to make some money as a free agent 3 years from now, as opposed to a guy who's going to be in a rookie contract coming out of the draft for those multiple years. So a weird story here for Brantley, a guy who had a bad incident emerge at the very wrong time, and apparently now because of that, whether it's true or not, what is a fact is that it has cost him a lot of money, just the insinuation there, so kind of interesting stuff on that. Also interesting coming from Florida, now 8 players drafted from the 2013 draft class from the Gators after Brantley and Anzalone and Wilson and Tabor, all those guys go over the weekend in the NFL draft, and what this makes you wonder is, you know, for a guy like Will Muschamp, who recruited that 2013 class, we know he could recruit, he just wasn't much of a head coach. What happens now, though? Now, you have to admit, Jim McElwain is doing a much better job on the recruiting drill. There's no question about that. But is he going to be able to maintain that? And with no Jeff Collins left over at defensive coordinator, is Jim McElwain going to be able to produce a defense as good as the one the Gators have used the last couple of seasons? There's a lot of talent to be replaced there. While the 2017 signing class for Florida was pretty good, top 10 according to the 24/7 Sports composite team ranking, 2015, 2016, for the most part, were not elite the way that Florida expects to be. And some of those guys from those classes will be expected to step in and play right away this year. And I'm not sure they'll be able to match the talent that Will Muschamp brought into that program. Scary moment for one SEC team over the weekend as Arkansas finishes up its spring practice and one of their star running backs, Rolly Williams, carted off the field here with what was appearing to be a neck injury. Now, I guess in retrospect, this is going to end up being just an abundance of caution from Brett Bielema and the Hawks here, but this is not the thing that any SEC team wants to see with its spring practice, a star player taken off the field in a very serious manner. That is what happened with Williams, but it seems like he might be okay. We'll stay tuned for more details on this. Then the final story to get to here for the SEC through, did you see where Kentucky is renaming its stadium? Speaking of Kroger, Kroger Field going to be the new name, what was once known as Commonwealth Stadium. Now, I have to say something here. I think this is a really good idea because Kentucky is going to end up making a lot of money off a naming rights deal for the stadium, and it's not like Commonwealth Stadium was some grand, famous name, you know, before this anyway. So I think Kentucky, you're kind of at the forefront, the first in the SEC to do what a lot of other SEC schools might follow suit on in doing. Now, it's also worth pointing out here, there are some SEC schools that would not be able to do this. You know, a program like Tennessee, whose stadium is named after the legendary former coach General Nealon, Nealon Stadium. Tennessee probably can't take Nealon's name off the stadium and adopt naming rights and the money that comes along with that. That's a bit of a negative for the Vols going forward, maybe. The same for Alabama. At Bryant-Denny Stadium with Bear Bryant's name attached to that, you probably can't change that. At Auburn, Jordan-Hare Stadium, Shug Jordan, the former legendary coach, there'd probably be a lot of pushback from the Tigers. But Commonwealth Stadium, the kind of stadium that you can do that for. No one cares about that name, or at least I don't think they should. That's not a historic name necessarily. So why not allow a sponsor to come on, attach his name to it? He'll give you millions of dollars for that. That's millions of dollars you can use to upgrade your facilities and ultimately upgrade your program. On this, I think Kentucky's doing the right thing. I think they're leading the way, and a lot of other SEC programs and quite possibly Georgia should and will follow suit in the years to come. We'll make that your SEC through. All right, wanted to close out the show with a couple interesting pieces of news from recruiting. So you've got 4-star defensive lineman Rick Sandage from Concord, North Carolina, comes out with a top 11, which anytime it's an odd number like that, that's always kind of a strange thing. But Sandage does include the Dogs in his top 11. Just like 5-star wide receiver Brennan Eagles from Houston, Texas. He comes out with a top 10. He includes George in his top 10. Now, Emory Davis wrote into our comment section watching us Facebook Live. Are either one of these players coming to Georgia? And the odds are neither one of these guys are coming to Georgia. There's not a strong connection with either one of these guys when it comes to the Dogs. But I guess in a roundabout way, it's kind of nice to see the Dogs mentioned in a top 10, top 11 situation. The bottom line, though, is while Eagles and Sandage might not be on their way to UG anytime soon, Sounds like, according to Jeff Sintel, there will be a host of commits committing to the G in May, and we'll see how that plays out and talk to you again tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.